Well, let's look in the book of Ephesians this morning, and a new year, a new theme. I don't know. Now, let me just say, the sound is going to be different today out there listening because we're not in right hooked up into the sound system, so you're only being picked up on a microphone from a telephone, and that's the best we can do right now. We've got someone here looking at our system. And we've got difficulties not being able to stream online. We cannot get on the internet, so everything is being on a phone by data. So keep that in mind. But if you can make it out in the back, we've put up, I appreciate Brother Jimmy and Miss Kyla, they put up our new banners. And this is our new theme for the year. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, just simply, He's able. God is able. And in Ephesians chapter 3, let's just read the whole chapter. Ephesians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Let's just read the whole chapter here. And we want to look and preach on He is able this morning. And I'm thankful He is. Because we learn and realize all the time we're not. And so let's look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be, I love this, fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ. By what? The gospel. Thank God the mystery has been made known unto us. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers and heavenly places, I love this, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning thanking You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, this great mystery, Your mystery, the plan of God, the plan that You put before the foundation of the world, the plan that redemption for mankind through Your Son and the precious shed blood, Lord, and the mystery of this wonderful plan was hid. But Lord, thank you by your word. And because you love us, you have revealed your plan to us that we do not have to live ignorant. But Lord, we know your plan. We know that it has been revealed, and it's been revealed by your word and by the gospel. Help us to always be grateful and thankful and how you loved us and revealed what you want us to know so we do not have to live in darkness. Now strengthen us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad the plan of God, which the Bible said was hid in God for years, has now been revealed to us? Don't you love it that when someone loves you enough to let you know what's really going on? Well, God loves us enough to really let us know what was going on. His plan, His future plan, His past plan, and His plan is that He loved His creation. Men and human, mankind, sinned against God and was separated from God. But because of that separation, God loved us. That's why Christ came to this earth to reconcile us back. God bought us back from the auction block of sin because He loved us. What a plan. Aren't you thankful for that plan? That's through Jesus Christ, and He revealed that to us. How do we know this plan? I'm thankful we know it because God revealed it to us. If God would not have revealed to us His plan, we would be ignorant today. But I'm thankful He revealed His plan. But I want to preach this morning on our theme for the year. And you're going to find that theme in that verse, in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now I want you to think about that a minute. You dream. You can think of some absolutely wonderful things. You know, people, when I was a young man in high school, a lot of times I would be daydreaming in class when I should have been learning. But what was I doing? I was dreaming about these big things that could happen or places I could go. And by the way, a lot of those things that I dreamed, to be quite honest with you, or thought about, I thought, man, those things will never come true. But I want you to know, serving the Lord, those dreams have been definitely much more greater in reality than what I actually dreamed. Never understood what all God would do in our lives and where He would allow us to be and where He would allow us to go and what He would allow us to experience. So I want you to know this morning that God is able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. And that's a pretty big dream, isn't it? That's a pretty big standard. That's a pretty big opportunity to trust the Lord for things. But you know, when I was a little boy, I don't know if it happens much today. I'll be honest, I'm around children, but probably not around them as much as I should be. But I do understand culture has changed. But when I was a little boy, I used to be around a lot of boys in the school lot and at school and out playing. A lot of us boys would brag on our daddies. We used to brag on our daddies. Now, I don't know. I don't think we hear enough about that today. I'm afraid that there's too many young men and too many young ladies that have heroes of the wrong kind. But I believe we ought to be respectful of our fathers. And I think there ought to be another revival of a culture where a boy thinks his daddy's the best man in the world. I just believe that. Because we don't understand what that dad has done and what that, and by the way, I didn't understand that as a child, but I understand it now. But when I was a boy, we used to brag on our daddies. I would actually sometimes, and I don't commend any of this, but there would be times me and other boys would kind of get a little tussle match because we would be so much bragging on our daddy. And we'd say, "Hey, my daddy can do this." "Well, that ain't nothing. My daddy can do this, and my daddy can do this." And you know what I'm saying? We used to brag on our daddies. And then when I was a little boy, if I was with my father, and of course my dad was a great man, I never heard him complain about going to work. He was faithfully working to take care of his family, and he was one of the few fathers in our community that actually came out and played with us boys. We were always out on the old Riverview school lot. We would either be playing basketball, football, cops and robbers. We'd be playing, doing stuff all the time outside. And I loved being able to be raised in the west end of the big town of Hinton, West Virginia. The west end of Hinton, West Virginia. And us West End boys, we always had something going. We'd be playing football, basketball, baseball. And by the way, we got it a little bit of meanness from time to time, plenty of spankings with all of that. But nonetheless, my father was one of the few fathers in that West End of Hinton that actually would take time and come out there and play ball with us boys. But there were many times as a boy, I would go to my dad, and he was a big fisherman, and I loved to fish, and I loved to hunt, and he was a big, he liked to hunt, and he had all of his guns at the top of the stairway, and there'd be many times when he was trying to teach me some things, I'd go to my dad and say, "Dad, how do you load this gun, or how do you fish this lure, or how do you fix this, Dad?" You know what? I would go to him because I couldn't, but I know he could. And that's one thing that we should like about our dads, isn't it? That they are able to do things that we aren't. We have two grandchildren, and little Kate and Cora. And Cora just talks up she's sharp. And she'll come up to me and she'll say, "Papa, can you do so-and-so for me?" Why is she coming to me? Because she can't, and she thinks I can. Now, I can't do all things. But I am so thankful in my life, my father was able to do a lot of things that I can't. Now, y'all know where I'm going this morning. If my earthly father could do some things that I wasn't able to do, and he was able to fix my pole or to fix my gun or to load this or to fix something that I wasn't able to, listen to me, my heavenly father is able. Aren't you thankful this morning? Y'all can help me preach by shouting amen. How many of you believe that your father is able? See, there's many times in our life we can't do this and we can't fix this and we don't know what to do here, but we can go to our heavenly father because the Bible says he's able. I'm so thankful. And when I was young and in school, we used to brag on our dads. I wish we'd get back to that a little bit. And I understand they're human. I understand that they're weak. I understand that they're frail as well. They cannot do all things. But I want you to know something. Our Heavenly Father is not weak. He's not frail. He is able. And I just wanted, for a few minutes this morning, church, I want to just brag on our Heavenly Father. I want to brag on my Heavenly Father. And listen, you know, as a boy, we used to sit around, we would brag on our fathers. I can still remember some of us boys out there. And you know, my dad was a big fisherman, so, you know, I could always brag on how many big smallmouth he caught. I mean, Dad's got smallmouth. He's got a 6'9" on the wall. He's got a 5'14" on the wall. I mean, Dad used to catch those big old slab smallmouth in the New River. And everybody, when I'd go to Don's Sports Shop, I'd go up there, and every time I went up there, old Don or one of them guys, they knew my dad, he could catch fish. So I've never forgotten this. And so Dad used to make up names for stuff. And so he had this stuff, this special stuff. I thought it was special, but he would spray this stuff on his lures. And I'd say, "Dad, what's that called?" He'd said, "Mark, that's acupunky. Acupunky." And I'm like, "Acupunky? I've never heard of acupunky in my life." So I go up to Don's Sports Shop one day, and every time I went up there, like, "Hey, where's your dad? What's your dad using? Where is he fishing?" You know, and then one time guys would see me and my dad out in the river fishing, and they'd pull over on top of the road there just to watch us fish to see what we were doing. And I'll never forget, I was just a young boy. I was at Don's Sports Shop, and one of them guys said, "Hey, can you give me a little secret about your dad?" I said, "Well, I know this." I said, "He's got this special stuff that he uses, and he sprays on his lures." They said, "What's the name of it?" I said, "It's acupunky." They said, "Acupunky?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's some special something that he made up. It's called acupunky." But I said, "I know one thing, Dad." And he said, "Oh, we know. Your dad's catching the biggest smallmouth in town." And so I go home. I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "tell me about that acupunky." He said, "What do you mean?" I says, "Well, I was at Don's Sports Shop, and they were asking me this special stuff." He says, "Mark!" He said, "There's nothing special." He said, "I just bought that at the store." I said, "Well, why'd you call it acupunky?" He said, "I was just being funny." So everybody up at Don's Sports Shop was looking everywhere to find this special fishing stuff to put on their lure called acupunky, and it didn't exist. Thanks, Dad. Me and Dad still laugh about that today, but you say, "What was you doing?" I was bragging on my dad. I remember one time there was a gentleman there in West Virginia in our town, and I'm not being ugly, but he kind of had a speech impediment. And so someone was asking him about Pat Brannon one day. He said, "I don't know about Pat Brannon." He said, "But I told him about Pat Brannon." He said, "Here, Pat Brannon." He said, "Pat Brannon, out there in this steamboat shoe, I get all day long, all day long, all day long." He said, "Out there in the river, I get all day long." In other words, he said, "All I know Pat Brannon does is fish, amen, all day long, all day long." And I want you to know something. I used to brag on my dad as a boy. And I still should brag on him. I still am thankful for him. But you know what? Think about that. You know, one of these little boys is bragging on his father. He says, well, I'll tell you right now, my daddy's a doctor. And he makes so much money, it takes a whole bag to take to the bank. This other boy says, well, that ain't nothing. He says, my daddy's a lawyer, and it takes a whole briefcase to take to the bank. And one old boy sitting over here, his daddy was a pastor. He says, well, boys, I got all of you beat. He said, my daddy's a pastor. He says, it takes six men with six different plates to take up all the money. Amen. Hey, listen, there's nothing like bragging on our heavenly Father. Listen, the Bible says our heavenly Father is able. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I love that last part, the power according working in us. What is that? The power of the Holy Spirit. Can I say, God is able, folks. God is able, church, in 2021. God is able. When I was praying about, thinking about a theme for this year, I said, look, we're not able. Our government's not able. We understand, a president is not able. Our Congress is not able. We see the limits in all of those things, but I want you to know, church, we need to get our eyes on our Heavenly Father. He is able. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's able. And so let's look at a few things this morning quickly, why he is able. Give you some things, and let's just brag on our Heavenly Father this morning. First of all, I want you to notice he is able to succor. I want you to notice here in verse 16, the Bible says this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Quickly, I have this verse wrote down here. I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What does succor mean, or does secure? Because if you're not careful how you pronounce that, it's not secure, S-E-C-U-R. It's S-U-C-C-O-R, succor. What does that mean, Pastor? That's a Bible word. Our God is able to succor. It's to give assistance to someone. And here's what I love about this. Just in the nick of time. When everything seems like the chips are down. When it looks like there's no way of getting out of that tunnel. God comes through. That reminded me of a human historical true event. You know that I'm a big Civil War buff. I have been on many of the battlefields. It's a shame today that we are trying to erase our history in which made our country great. I want you to understand that up in Antietam, there was a battle there in 1862, and it was the bloodiest day, the bloodiest one-day battle in the whole campaign or the whole war of the Civil War between the North and the South. The Confederates called it the Battle of Sharpsburg. The Northerners called it the Battle of Antietam. Things took place there. You hear of the Dunkard Church. You understand of the cornfield. You also understand of the Bloody Lane. And I would encourage all of you to do a little bit of history and study the Battle of Antietam or Sharpsburg. My wife and I were able to be there many years ago, and they had built a tower where the Bloody Lane was. And the Bloody Lane was very central of the battlefield. The battle started early that morning near the Dunkard Church and the cornfield. They fought there for many hours, and then it switched. Because in the Civil War, they would try to fight and they would get the flanks. So they tried the left flank, but Stonewall Jackson held the flank. And then they moved to the center where Longstreet held the center, and that's where Bloody Lane, they just kept assaulting that area. The Confederates was outnumbered 3-1 in that battle. They held the defensive line. So now the North has came to the left flank. Now they have assaulted the center flank. And they only have a little bit of the left flank left. Longstreet is holding all of the center and the right flank. It's been all day fighting. The Confederate army is outnumbered 3-1. One more final push will break the Confederate line. So Burnside had a whole corps that had not been engaged in the whole battle. And towards the end of the day, they started to assault the right flank. There was a little obstacle there called the Burnside Bridge. It's been called the Burnside Bridge. They had to cross the Antietam Creek. General Lee had no more reinforcements to reinforce the right flank. A great attack on the right flank, the whole line caves in. What wasn't known is A.P. Hill had a whole division back in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, collecting some prisoners. They had taken that town back. And he was a forced march trying to get to Antietam before the battle was over. No one thought he would get there. They couldn't jump on a train. They couldn't ride horses. He had thousands, about 16,000 men that were traveling by marching. Many, many miles to get there. The North starts to come, and they're starting to attack just a few Georgians on the right flank at Antietam. The line starts to break. They start to give. The whole line starts to go back in confusion, and the South is getting ready to lose the battle. But if you even look on the internet, you'll find, in honor of General A.P. Hill, there is a website called Up Came Hill. Up Came Hill. His whole division, at the very moment that the North was breaking the line and there was no reinforcements to put in the line, all of a sudden A.P. Hill came all the way from Harper's Ferry and he came up and crashed into that assault of the Northern Army just in the nick of time. He gave aid and the day was saved. Now listen to me, if A.P. Hill can force march a 16,000-man army just in the nick of time, I want all of you to know today that our God in heaven is able to take care of us just in the nick of time. The chips are never down when we have God. It's never so dark that God can't do anything. No, He is able to succor us. I wasn't planning on preaching like this, but the more I think about it, the more excited that I get that we have a God that is able to take care of us even when it seems like the chips are down. He's always on time. Praise God. I don't know if y'all are excited this morning, but that's who we have as a Heavenly Father. He's able to succor us in the nick of time, praise God. I want you to know that's the idea of what Jesus does for us when we're being tempted, when we're weak, when we're in a dark place. We feel like in the weakest midst of our storm and our weakest midst of temptation, He's able, church. Jesus suffered every kind of temptation that we face, so He knows how to help us. That's what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." It's the God we have. Thank God we never need to live in defeat because Jesus promises to be there, to succor us, to give us the help and the grace and the encouragement and the power that we need for victory when we need it the most. Hey, He's always there for us, just in the nick of time of our temptation. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful." Why is He faithful? "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are all that are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." Some people quote that verse wrong. Well, doesn't God say to us that He'll never put on us more than what we can handle? It's not what He said. It's not what He said in that verse. I hear people misquote that all the time. Well, didn't it say that God won't give us more than we can handle? No, He didn't say that. That's not what that verse means. That means in the midst of your greatest temptation and your greatest struggle, you can't take it. You can't handle it. But He can. And He's able to help us bear through it. See, here's what we want. We want out of it. We want out of it. We want out of the press. We want out of the, I've been joking with my wife a little bit. Praise the Lord. They're wonderful. They're heavy. I'm used to a really, really, really little light bedspread, a comforter on the bed, to where, but when I used to sleep with in my grandma's house, it was so cold in the house, she would layer that, she wouldn't heat the house, she'd lead it with layers of quilts and heavy stuff. So once you got up and underneath that, man, it's like, you couldn't hardly move. Well, we have a real heavy, heavy, really, really nice, we've never had one like that, but it's really, really, really heavy. It's a really nice comforter. And I told Laura, it's a meat press. So I'm going to get up underneath this meat press tonight, because, man, once you get under it, man, I mean, it's like, you know, it's everything you can do. And I'm just, and it's wonderful. I'm not talking bad about it. I'm just saying, it's like a meat press. But see, we went out from underneath the meat press. We went out from underneath the fire. God doesn't say he'll always take us out of the heat of the fire. But here's what he'll do. He'll make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. To bear it. To bear up under that meat press. Somebody say amen. And I've been bearing up under that meat press now for over a year, praise God. And I'm talking now about our comforter. Hey, Jesus will always provide for us the way of escape in temptation. We hear some people, I'll tell you what God says, he won't put. No. Quit saying that. That's not what that verse means. That's not what that verse says. Oh, God says he won't put more on us than we can handle. No, we sometimes are involved in things that we can't handle. But in that moment that we can't handle, listen to me, he is able. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. Yes, he's able to succor us just in the nick of time. So here, don't give up. Some of us are so discouraged right now. We think, oh, I'll tell you what, our country's in a mess. Look at me. It is. It is. It possibly might fundamentally change. But listen to me. God is able. And by the way, I believe the rapture will be right at the right time, just in the nick of time. Somebody say amen. He's going to come. He's able. So I want all of us to just brag on the Lord today. He is able to succor. He is able to strengthen us in our greatest time of need. Let me say this. He's able to sustain. He's able to sustain. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. I like that, rooted and grounded. I like people that know what they are. They're sustainable. In other words, it's sustainable. In other words, you know where they are and you know why they're there. They got some substance. See, God gives a substance. He said, look, you need to be grounded and rooted. I'm not like a wave. I'm not like a little pebble in the sea where it's not rooted to nothing. Hey, and just moving to wherever the shifting winds and the waves of this world. No, we're rooted. We're grounded in love. Who does that? God's able to ground us and to root us in his love. Look at Psalm 55, verse 22. I'll read it to you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I love that. He shall never, never, not maybe. Well, I wonder. No, there's no wonder. He says he shall never allow the righteous to be moved. So who moves? Why do we get moved? Why do we change? Why do we get weak? Not his fault. I love how people love to get on social media and blame everything else on everybody else. Well, it's so easy to do, isn't it? Because, you know, public opinion's fickle. And no strong Christian, and I want to say this, I appreciate our church, no strong Christian is going to get on there and argue with people. It's a bad look. It's a bad testimony. By the way, you say, well, why don't we? Because we're going to let lives live the lives. What you see is what you get. I don't have to get on Facebook, toot my own horn. I'm going to live my life. You know, when I buried Mr. Hartline yesterday, bless his heart, let me tell you something about that man. He pastored two churches. I have respect and admiration for anybody that pastors a church for any amount of time. To serve the Lord in that way. And by the way, I have great respect and love for anyone that serves the Lord in any capacity. He served here. Not only that, because of his family, I'm going to be honest, it was cold yesterday, just like Brother Horton's. It was cold yesterday, but there was a great turnout there. What was that? Was a testimony. You know why? Because Mr. Hartline lived his life. And just before I got up and spoke, his eldest son got up and I think gave one of the most powerful testimonies that I've ever heard in my life. He said, look, I know my dad. I've known him all my life. And he said he was real. That's powerful when you have a family member that knows your weaknesses and knows you, still gets up and says his faith in Christ was genuine. That's powerful, church. By the way, that's the kind of life I want to live. I don't have to get on there and toot my own horn. My life's going to speak for me. When I have burials, when I do funerals, many of them are easy to preach. You know why? Because they've preached their own funeral. They've preached their own life. And I want you to know something. God is able to sustain. He is the one that grounds us. Sustain means to maintain, to support, to strengthen, to provide the substance of nourishment. So if we're going to get moved, it's because we quit feeding on the right nourishment. We've got to stay connected to the branch. We've got to stay connected to the vine. We're the branch. We've got to stay connected to the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine. He will feed us. He will sustain us. How many problems have I gone through when the burden was just so heavy that I would never have made it if it were not for the Lord sustaining me? I cannot help, and I would encourage all of you, you can find it online. I haven't listened to it in years. But Dr. Seitler down in Greenville, South Carolina, what a preacher. What a preacher. I never got to meet him in person. I've only been able to hear him on tape. But he has a famous sermon online, and it's just simply called this: Can God? God can. You need to listen to it. Can God, they ask, can God have a meal in the wilderness? Can he provide in the wilderness? Can God, hey listen, God's able. And I'm telling you right now, it's a powerful message. You need to look it up. Harold Seitler, Can God? God Can. And he got so excited in that service, he forgot he was on the radio. He got so excited, kind of like I did there a minute, man, just firing out, preaching, getting excited, man, just bragging on the Lord Jesus. I'll never forget, he said, God can. I can still hear his old gruffly voice in that. And he said, God's able. Yes, can God. God can sustain. I can still hear him say, God can sustain. God's able to sustain. And by the way, God is able to sustain. Amen. He'll sustain us. As I stood there yesterday at that cold cemetery, as I was walking up there, a very short walk to the burial place of where Mr. Hartline was put. And even last Saturday, we've had two gravesides in the last two Saturdays. Even as I walked to the graveside at dear Brother Horton's funeral, I thought, what do people do when they don't know the Lord when they go through the time like this? See, God sustains. Hey, he's able to sustain. He supports us. He strengthens us. He nourishes me. By the way, the Lord Jesus grounds me. Are you grounded? Get you a stake, knock it down in the ground, what, 8 feet long? I mean, just down in there deep. Get it down deep. See, when you get hooked up in the Lord, you're planted in the vine, listen to me, you get sustained. Boy, you're rooted. You ain't gonna move. You know why you're not moving. Can I help every young person? Just like, get you some convictions from the Bible. Everybody listening out there, you know, well, I'll tell you what, the world's telling me to do this, and this has changed, this changed. No, look, when you have convictions that come from God, you're rooted. It don't matter if the whole world changes, you're gonna stay put. See, some people say, you're one of them old fuddy-duddies, Pastor Mark. Boy, I was encouraged the other day. I don't believe it, but two men said to me in the last few weeks, boy, I'll tell you what, when I hear you sound like one of them old-timey preachers, I said, man, I know who I am. I ain't nothing. But that did encourage me because, man, just the thought that I have some convictions like some of these older men. I say, where is it today? Well, we're running around trying to change everything. We're trying to look at everything new. But listen, here, I'm not against something if something's better. But look, we've got the Word of God. It don't need to be improved. Get you some convictions on the Word of God and don't be moved. And I'm 46. I tell these young people all the time, hey, look, I'm not what I am because of the college I went to. I'm not what I am because of who so-and-so said to me, or because I want to be with this clique or this group or this group. No, I've got some convictions. I'm grounded based on the one that has saved me, has given them to me. He's rooted me. He's grounded me. I want to be grounded in him. You know why? He sustains. Hey, praise God, he's able to save. Aren't y'all glad he's able to save? Y'all knew that was coming. I mean, you can't hear a message without salvation. God is able to save. Well, where do you find that in that passage, Pastor? Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I tell you what, there's never been a love that I've experienced or know but the love of God. Why does he love me? He loved me so much he saved me. So we need to take him off. We need to take him off trial, Brother Don. There's so many people today that are putting God on trial all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, if God really loved me, he wouldn't do this. No, listen to me. If God really didn't love you, he wouldn't have died for you. Listen to me. He don't have to do another thing for me. He has saved my soul from a burning hell. Punisher for my sin. What else has he got to do? And by the way, if you look, he's doing a whole lot more than just saving us. He's been good to us. He's able to save. Hebrews 7:25 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save. He's the only one. He's the only one. I came up a very interesting story the other day, and I'm so glad I found it. I want to share it with you. I'll try to paraphrase it. But in the 18th century in Northampton, England, an Irish man, and I'm sure the Palmers probably know this, but an Irish man by the name of Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L, was sentenced to die on the gallows. And he had already been convicted, but after he had been convicted, there was a preacher by the name of Philip Doddridge. Philip Doddridge, and he took an interest in this man's life, and he realized that he believed that that man was innocent. So he took up the case. And he started to work that case, and he just felt like this man was falsely accused. But this man had already been accused. He'd already been sentenced to death. But this pastor, this Philip Doddridge, took on this case and was able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was 120 miles away from where the crime occurred and when the crime occurred. Because it was the 18th century, he had already been convicted. There was no appeals, so he was still sentenced to death. So they took him to be hung. And this is what I found was amazing. So they asked Mr. Connell if he had a last wish, and he said, yes, please, on the way to the gallows, can you please take me by Preacher Doddridge's house and let me just say something to him? And so they did. And on the doorsteps of Pastor Doddridge's house, Connell knelt down. He knelt down at his doorstep with tears streaming down his face. He shouted out, Reverend Doddridge, every hair on my head thanks you. Every throb of my heart thanks you. Every drop of my blood thanks you. You tried to save me. You did all you could to save me. But you could not save me. You can say the same thing today about anything that you've tried as well to make yourself acceptable to God. You can try it. But listen to me, church, and listen to me, everybody out online this morning. You can try it, but I promise you, you will come up with the same thing that Mr. Connell came up with. You can try, and they might try, and that thing might try, but it will not save you. You can bow before your confirmation and say, you tried to save me, but you could not. You can bow down to your good works and say, you tried with everything that you can, but it has not saved me. You can bow before getting baptized and you can say, oh, I've been baptized, and you can bow down to that water and say, oh, you tried to save me, but you'll come up with the same testimony. It cannot save you. You can bow before your church, and praise God, I think every Christian ought to belong to a church because they are saved. But you can bow before your church and say, oh, I've been a member of that church all these years. I've tried to be a good church member. But if that's what you're trusting, it's not able to save you. And you can bow before Jesus Christ this morning. And you can say, you've done everything for me. You give everything to save me. You've tried your best to save me, and I've learned this, only you can save me. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only that's able to save. You can't save yourself. It's a sad thing today. I've seen people give money, and they've given so much money thinking that's going to buy their way into heaven. I know in some religions they're trying to buy penance. They're trying to confess their own sins to some other man. No, listen to me. All of those things are full of religion. Listen to me. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you say to Him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for me. And Lord, I'm trusting You as my personal Savior. Only He can save. And He's able to save. And by the way, He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And I'm so thankful for that. Jesus is able. He will save you if you will believe on Him. Listen to me. If you will place your trust and your confidence in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might, shall be saved. I want you to know the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the promise. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen to me, church, and all of you that know it. Shout amen. He's able to save. He's the only one. I shared this yesterday. I've shared it here before, but at the graveside yesterday, I don't know, there's probably close to 100 people there scattered around that cemetery. And I have a feeling there was probably one or two or many that were there that did not know Christ. And so I gave the gospel at the end of the graveside service. And I said this, and I've shared this with you. I've never forgotten it. I can still see the man's face. I was preaching at Wallace and Wallace Funeral Home in Rainell, West Virginia. You can't really find that place on a map unless you're looking for it. Brother Don knows where it's at. Rainell, West Virginia. I was at Wallace and Wallace, and a man had died, not a part of our church. They had just asked me to come and preach this service, and he was from Rainell, and I came over there, and there was a man sitting in the back, and as I was preaching, I preached on heaven that particular day, and I actually told him the only way to heaven was through Jesus. At the end of that service, that man, you could tell he was troubled. You could tell that he didn't like what I said in the middle of the service. When the service was over, he came up to me, and he said, I want to just talk to you a minute. He said, there's something you said that I disagree with in the message. It's like, what's that, sir? He said, well, what you don't understand. He said, I drove here this weekend from New York. And he called the city. He said, and I drove from New York down here to Reno, West Virginia. I said, yeah. I said, it's amazing that you found Reno, West Virginia from New York. Of course, it was a family member that had passed. And he looked at me and he said, I have a little bit of problem with what you said towards the end of the service. You said the only way to heaven. And oh, I love just to hear it. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. And I said, yes, sir. That's what the Bible teaches. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. He said, I got a problem with that. I said, well, I was thinking in my mind, so does a lot of other people too. I said, so does the devil. He don't like that either. But he said, you said the only way to heaven is through Jesus. I said, yes, sir. I said, I quoted John 14:6. He said, I got a problem with that. He said, here's why I got a problem with that. He said, I'm from New York. He said, I drove down here the other day. He said, I came the scenic route. I wanted to enjoy the scenery. But he said, going home. He said, I'm going to take another route. He said, I got to get home quicker, so I'm going to take the interstate. He said, I believe heaven's just like that. He said that people have good intentions to go to the same place. They can take different ways. I said, sir, the only problem with that is we're not talking about the state of New York. We're talking about heaven. There's only one way. There's only one that's able to save. There's only one that's paid the price. There's only one that way that had, the only one that had sinless blood running through his veins, and that was Jesus Christ. No, listen to me, my friend. He is the way and the only way, but he's able. He's able to save. I want you to notice he's able. His promise, trust his word, over feelings. You say, Pastor, you always feel saved? Look at me. No. I don't always feel saved. Can I ask, have any of y'all ever not felt saved? Would you say amen? I mean, I guess when you got the coronavirus and you're in the middle of that thing, you probably don't feel saved. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all know how I like to eat. And y'all know how I look. I can't even smell. I haven't been able to smell and taste. I've done counting it down. 24 days. Somebody give me a witness. I've lost all kinds of weight. It's been good because you don't enjoy eating. And I'm going to be honest with you. We're waiting for my taste to come back for me to fix certain things. You say, well, Pastor, will you feel saved then? More likely. More than likely. I can't smell or taste. And, you know, that might be good things that I can't smell, but I still like to taste. I said, man, this could be rotten and I wouldn't know it. Somebody say, amen. Someone said they could be eating something one day. I thought, I kind of got tickled. I said, yeah, we sure could. Wouldn't even know it. But you say, Pastor, you always feel safe. Look at me. No. And if you was to be honest, you don't always feel saved. You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to bring up our past. He loves to bring up our sin. He loves to bring up our fault. But listen to me. I'm not trusting my feelings today. I am trusting the one that is able. He gave me a promise, and I'm going to bank on it. He saves me from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save. And then I want you to just close with this. God is able to secure. Verse 19, verse 20, the Bible says, now unto him, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm going to tell y'all something. He can keep me. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. You know, it amazes me. There's these people that believe, well, I'll tell you right now, you can lose your salvation. That's not something that's free. Look at me. Salvation's not only free, it was very expensive, but it's forever. He said, well, Pastor, how you, that don't make sense. Don't matter if it makes sense. It's what the Bible teaches. He's able to keep us secure. Hey, listen. I remember years ago when we had that tornado here. I think it was 2012. We were out of power for a week. It was so hot. It was in April. We had to stay downstairs. And just to keep the room cool, we kept the door open all night long. You remember that, Kaylee? And Clay and Kaylee came down and we were sleeping. And Laura, we all sat down with an open door. Our only thing was there was a screen door so the cool air could come in at night. And I'm going to be honest with you. We laid there that night and Clay and Kaylee didn't have any trouble sleeping. You know why? Because between me and my wife and my children, I slept between that door and all three of them, and I had a little bit of metal beside me. And I not only had a pistole, I had a shotgun really, really close. And I want you to know, you say, why, Pastor? Because even in times like that, bad guys take advantage of things. And I wanted to know, I wanted my family to know that night they were secure. And listen to me. People could have come in and ransacked me, and I'm such a heavy sleeper, they might have even gotten in. But at least my family thought they were secure. My daddy's got shotgun here. My daddy's, he's got it. He's going to take care of it. But you know what? I might have failed him, but you know what's even more wonderful than that? Our daddy, our father, he's riding shotgun, and I promise you right now, he can secure us. There's no limitations with our Heavenly Father. He's able. He's able to secure. God is able to secure you and keep you. John chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's all I need right there, eternal life. When's that end? When's it start? The moment you get saved, it's eternal life. But I love the rest of that verse. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So look here, we got a double guarantee of security. I'm in Jesus Christ's hand. And let me say this. There ain't nobody getting through that hand. But just to double secure that, y'all like them double dips? I sometimes tell people when they fix my ice cream, I say, now look, give me some extra fudge. Now if they come back and I say, look, now if I'm going to pay for extra fudge, put it heavy. Now let's not skimp. I mean, when I say extra fudge, I want it coming up the top. I want it to melt all that white ice cream. That's what I want. I want heavy fudge. I want a double dip. I want a double squirt. Here's what God said. He said, when you get saved, you're in Jesus Christ's hand, and then nobody's going to get you out of there, but then just a double deuce that thing. Look here. Then God puts his hand over Jesus Christ's hand, and ain't nobody getting through. You know why? Because he's able to secure. Oh, you bunch of Baptists, y'all believe in once saved, always saved. No, I believe in something better than that. I believe in eternal life. Let's use Bible language. I tell you right now, y'all believe that once saved, always saved stuff. No, I believe eternal life. I believe that a God in heaven is able to save me, but then once he saves me, he's able to secure me. Years ago, and I know I've shared this, but I worked up at a marketing company in Knoxville. Put our family, get me through school, take care of our family. And there was a gentleman there. I loved a man. His name was Eddie. I think of him often. And he was from up there in North Tennessee, kind of on the Kentucky border. They're around Oneida. And there are a bunch of hillbillies up there, just like West Virginia. That was big coal country in there. And so we were sitting there talking, and he said, "Now," and he knew I was a preacher. He said, "Now, you one of them Babblist preachers." Now, and that's what I've never forgot. He didn't call us Baptists. It was Babblists. He said, "You a Babblist preacher?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What kind are you?" I said, "Well, I guess I'd be called an independent Baptist. We don't have a denomination hierarchy. I'm not a Southern Baptist because we don't have a headquarters." I said, "I'm not a Northern Baptist because we don't have a headquarters." I said, "We're an independent Baptist." I said, "What that means is, now I don't mean we're ugly and mean. That just means that our headquarters is in heaven and we give an answer to him. We don't have some headquarters here." Amen. And so I said, so you're an independent Baptist. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, Eddie, what are you?" He said, "I said, more important than I'm an independent Baptist, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior." I said, "Eddie, are you saved?" "Oh, yes, I'm saved." He said, "Now, what kind of church are you?" He said, "Well, I'm a Babblicostal." Now, y'all look at me, I never heard that in my life. A Babblicostal. Not a Baptist costal, but a Babblicostal. Y'all with me? And I'm telling you what, this is a good man. But we got to talking one day, and then from that point on, I mean, he was a good man. He drove like an hour and a half to get to work. He was always there, even before I got there. And I'll never forget Eddie come down, and he talked to me. He said, "Now, let's talk a little bit." He said, "Let's talk about Romans." He said, "Let's talk about this eternal security thing." I said, "What do you want to know?" He said, "Well, I believe you can lose it." I said, "Lose what?" He said, "I believe you can lose your salvation." I said, "Why do you mean that?" And he said, "Well," he said, "because if you go there to Romans chapter 8, it says principalities, power, either things present or above. In other words, God says there's nothing can separate you from the love of God." He said, "There's only one problem with that verse." I said, "What's that, Eddie?" He said, "It don't put yourself in there." He said, "So what you're saying, Eddie, is I can get myself lost?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, if we could look at that verse," I said, "I think he covered me or anything. Am I in anything? You in anything? Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God." Here's what's amazing. You know how I can explain that? Which we don't have to explain it because God already told us he saves us and keeps us. But you know what? I have two children. I have a daughter. Her name's Kaylee. And I have a son. His name is Clay. And look at me. No matter what they do, they might disappoint me, and they have. But you know what? I'll forever love them. There's nothing they can do. They can change their name. They can live a different kind of life. They can deny everything that we've brought them up to be. It will never change the fact they will never separate themselves from their mother and their father's love. And if I'm just an old human daddy, look at me. He's able. He'll never quit loving us. He keeps his word. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and he sets the captives free. He made the lame to walk again and he calls the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. If you believe that, would you stand to your feet? If you believe that online, would you type amen, praise God, or something? Hallelujah. He's able. But if you're listening this morning by way of internet and you say, "Pastor Brandon, I do not know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I've trusted water. I've trusted church membership. I've trusted my good works. I've tried to put my faith in a religion. I've tried to put my faith in a church membership looking to me. None of that will save you. Only Christ." If you'd like to meet him today, we'd love to help you. If you'll call 825-0511, someone will help you. But you know what? You can bow your head right there in your home or wherever you're listening and say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. God, help me." Put your faith in Christ. Trust him as your personal Savior. Call us and let us know. There's nothing like knowing salvation in Christ. and he'll keep you secure. He's able. How many of you have been encouraged today? You know the Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you even say, amen, God spoke to me today. Let's let him have our, let's just brag on the Lord today. He is able. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I don't always feel saved. But Lord, I'm not trusting my feelings. I pray you'll help us. Lord, I know that you've always showed up right in the nick of time. You succor us. Lord, you strengthen us. You sustain us. You're able to sustain. Lord, I'm thankful that you are only able to save. You and you alone. Lord, if there's someone out there today, they do not know you as their personal Savior. May they come to you this morning. Lord, you're the only one that can secure. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Lord, thank you for giving us that beautiful picture that I'm in your hand and then the Father's hand is over top, that no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Thank you for that illustration. I can see that in my mind's eye. So thank you for being able to secure me. Well, thank you for what you do. Help us now. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us help this technical stuff with our internet today to be corrected, fixed, so we can be normal tonight as far as going online. Help us now. We leave all that in your hands. We ask it in Christ's name, and all God's people said. God bless you. Have a great day. Tune in tonight.